Hello, everyone. Once again, this is Really In with the Narnia Web Podcast, and I'm joined today by Glubbenpuddle.
Hello, everybody. Good to be back.
Indeed. You know,
It's been about June. Wasn't that about June we recorded the last
one? June was our last podcast, and we're going to discuss some of the updates. And, you know, I think the best way to enjoy this is really for me to just kind of relax here and just chat about how the Narnia films are winding up, just talking with an old friend.
Or winding down, sort of.
Winding down,
how you look at it.
You know, in Glubbenpuddle and I, I've known you now for, what, since 2003? Since 2004, maybe?
Since you've known me? I guess it was...
It's 2005 is when I started chatting with you.
I joined Narnia Web in mid-2004. You joined Narnia Web a few months later. It was probably about then or something. But certainly I remember very clearly getting – I think you sent it as a private message that you had posted. It was just a couple months after Wardrobe released the movie when you said, hey, I just posted this podcast. I didn't really know much about what a podcast was, honestly. I just didn't do that at all. And so I listened to it and I given you feedback and took a few months and it was eventually the official Narnia Web podcast.
Eventually, yeah. But, I've known Glubbenpuddle now for 6 years. Hard to imagine.
Still have not met you in person.
Still have not. No. Hey, we'll talk about
you might not even
Comic-Con,
exist, no. For all I know.
Okay, fine. Gloves come off now. Cards
but,
on the table.
The reason Rillian's talking like this is because this will probably be the last news podcast for a while. Or it may be the last podcast period for a while.
Yeah, for a while. I would like to do some more stuff on the books, but, the stuff we're going to talk about today, it's becoming pretty clear that, it's legally clear that we're not going to see any Narnia films for a while. And not sure, but definitely a few years minimum. But
not definitely in a few years. That'd be at least a few years, I think, would be the best way.
Yeah, it's a few years minimum, yeah.
Yeah.
So why don't we jump into really the last bit of news we heard, we had the Flaherty interview.
Yes, which we talked about in the last podcast.
That's what we talked about in the last podcast. And, you know, at that point, we were talking about, Magician's Nephew, Silverchair, we were talking about, which book will be adapted next? And now...
If one gets adapted, if one gets adapted,
that's what we were kind of assuming. And now we've... basically realized that during the negotiations with Fox and Walden and the Lewis estate in particular, the film option has been allowed to expire for some reason. We don't know what. And Glubbenpuddle, why don't you kind of explain the difference between a film option and film rights?
Yeah, basically what they're saying, Fantasia Kitty typed up the report. It's on the front page right now. It's called The Next Narnia Film, Where We Are Now. She did a very good job writing. Put something together very fast, wrote very clearly, I think. But basically what has happened is that Walden no longer owns the film option. Now, if I buy the film option and then go off and make the movie, I'm going to get sued. I don't have the rights to make the movie at that point. If I buy the film option, it's kind of like going into a bookstore and putting a book on hold and asking, hey, I don't want to buy this now, but maybe I'll want to buy it later, and I put it on hold. Now, I don't own the book, but by putting it on hold, they're giving me the exclusive right to buy it. No one else can buy that book. It has my name on it. So when you buy the film option, you're basically saying, put my name on this book to maybe buy the rights to this. And that option has been allowed to expire. So Walden Media no longer owns the option to buy the rights. And in fact, no one owns the option to buy the rights, apparently. And by law, there's a certain period of time that has to go by before – I'm not totally sure why this is – but a certain period of time has to go by before the C.S. Lewis estate can sell the option to somebody else. And we didn't initially we didn't know what that was. And Fantasia Kitty was speculating it might be several years. Before we see another one. And so the implication here seems to be that the fact that the option was allowed to expire, the implication is that the C.S. Lewis estate, that they let it expire because they don't want to work with – they don't want to make the movie with Walden or Fox. That seems to be the implication here.
And it's basically at this point, names of studios don't really matter. It doesn't matter if you're talking about Fox, Walden, Disney, anyone. the question of another Narnia film is basically up for grabs for anyone at this point.
Yeah.
As long as with, in terms of their negotiations with the Lewis estate,
uh-huh.
and to also wait for this period of time to end. Do we have a didn't we hear, I think, 3 to 4 years is
A couple weeks later, Douglas Gresham said, you know, they asked him about, you know, to sort of comment on the status of the franchise, and he said he hoped, you know, didn't know, but he was hoping to start production on another one in 3 to 4 years. Now, I should emphasize, he said start production in another 3 to 4 years, so probably more like 5 or 6 years in terms of when we could actually see one in the theater.
Yeah.
So that seems to imply that that this moratorium period is going to expire in 3 years' time. So in 3 years' time, the Lewis estate will be able to put the rights up for bid again.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting, this whole legal situation. And we don't really put our cards on the table. Glumpel and I have never actually known anything. Everything you've heard has just been speculation. That's 70% of what we do.
That's so true.
And then, you know, 30%
that's
are really...
Part. That's 70%
of, fun. Of what we do is really, really educated guesses, you know? So basically, you know, we don't know why these negotiations fell out. And, you know, people can speculate and people will speculate. But do you think, Glumpel, based on what Gresham said... that he is hoping to continue this series, or do you think he's leaning towards a reboot? Because just reading what he said, I got the feeling, especially when he talked about how he wants to see all the films, all the books adapted to film, I kind of got the feeling that despite what I might think would be more likely, that he would like to find a way to pick up and continue.
Oh, absolutely. I think that there's no reason to believe at this point that Gresham would want to reboot. I mean, I guess you could read into that, but I wouldn't, I think. But, I mean, he said he wants to make all of them, which definitely shows that he is still being, you know, within the bounds of the law, being aggressive as he can to still make this a 7-movie franchise. I don't think – I mean, he's – and Gresham has really been very vocal about he was very happy with how The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe turned out. I can't see him doing a reboot. I think the most likely thing we're going to see is that The Magician's Nephew will be next. But then again, I guess come to think of it, that was really a Walden thing. That was really Michael Flaherty and Walden saying, we want to do Magician's Nephew. I don't recall – actually, no. I take that back. At some stage, Gresham talked about after The Silver Chair. I think it was in the official companion maybe for Prince Caspian where he said that maybe I'm in favor of altering the order and doing Magician's Nephew after Silver Chair or something like that. But as far as doing Magician's Nephew after Don Shredder, I think that's more – that whole thing has kind of come from Walden. What
right.
Gresham or the Lewis estate wants to do and how open they are to kind of skipping Silver Chair, we really don't know.
Well, we talked about this last time and you know, I think we kind of felt that – or at least you presented the theory pretty – articulately that if they go with The Magician's Nephew, that it's kind of a it's a sign that they don't really see as much hope for the franchise. Like, okay, here's our one best cash cow. If we're going to do one more, then this is the best one we have because it's somewhat, you know, it's a popular book and uh-huh. and all that. So I don't. So I think that you're right. I think that's something that. What made more sense just from
now?
A,
I'm kind of changed my thinking on that a little bit because I was kind of assuming at the time that Will Poulter, you know, he's gone. You know, what are you going to do after if you make The Magician's Nephew next? That's it. Will Poulter's too old. Silver Chair is kind of in the garbage. But at this point, it's just almost like okay, they would definitely have to recast Eustace. That is a given, I think, mm-hmm. at this point. So.
I disagree. I think he'll look 14 for the rest of his life.
Well, that's a possibility, I guess. That's a possibility. But it's almost okay. Well, if that's just a given, then if they're going to make the Silver Chair, they are going to have to recast Eustace. So we're kind of 90% certain of that. So maybe they'll just say, okay, let's just recast Eustace. Now that we've come this far, I think that's probably not out of the question right now. So I'm kind of wondering if maybe that's what they would do. Just go ahead and recast Eustace and make the Silver Chair.
I kind of Well, yeah, I think they would make the silver chair next. If you're going to try to make all of them, I think you would make the silver chair next. And the silver chair has enough of
But listen, Will Poulter was the only reason there was kind of a, hey, like, come on, let's make silver chair next. In terms of production, that was the main reason I was saying that if the Make Magician's Nephew, well, then what are they going to do after that? But now that we've waited this far, I'm just kind of thinking, well, if they want to, they can make Magician's Nephew, then they can make the silver chair after that with a new Eustace.
Yeah, they could. But I think that just because as far as continuing any kind of a story flow,
Silver chair shows more long-term confidence if they make the silver chair.
It does. It does. And it seems like that would be easier to reintroduce than, well, it's hard to say. I could see it going both ways. I would still tend to lean that for creative reasons, if you would do the silver chair next. But in many ways, as far as changing up the order, it wouldn't really matter. You know, do you do Magician's Nephew first, or do you do Horse and His Boy before or after Magician's Nephew? Well, it doesn't really matter to a certain extent. You probably do Magician's Nephew then the Horse and His Boy, but you could certainly change up the order. You know, the question would be, and I'm trying to think of, I just thought of an example. I was trying to think of an example of a continued franchise with a long gap between the first films and the later films, and an example that was done well. And my first thought came to Star Wars, but I just added done well, so I'm going to have to think on that. But that would be kind of different to
Toy Story, maybe? Between the second one and the third one?
The
third one was incredibly well done.
And yeah, but thing is, you're able to have a lot of the same actors, with the exception of Jim Varney. I think that, and they were spaced well enough that I don't think that's an issue. The thing is, if they were to continue the series and not reboot it, you would have to be confident that your audience could attach to the first three films.
I almost think you don't have to do that. I think you almost have to do it. Obviously, in terms of a story, you are continuing, but in terms of marketing, in terms of what you're doing, you almost have to imagine this is like we're starting over. This is like the first movie. You know what I'm saying?
The only way to realistically do it. I'm not sure.
The Magician's Nephew is kind of a good way to do that for both groups. You can kind of grab the people who are already into the series, and then you can kind of grab people who would say, oh, this is something new. This is something – it's kind of a – because there's so few direct connections between Magician's Nephew and the other movies. I mean, it's basically, maybe Tilda Swinton and Liam Neeson, the design of the lamppost, the design of the wardrobe, the things that would tie you. It's almost a reboot. Doing Magician's Nephew next is almost a reboot, just quite naturally.
Right.
And you could bring in a new director and they could kind of have it be darker or faster or fun, whatever. There's a lot of room for them to kind of put their own spin on it, so they could kind of be a reboot and a prequel at the same time.
It's interesting, just me thinking about a reboot, continuing the series. I think my first desire, I don't really think in terms of the question, do I want a reboot or do I want them to continue the series? What I want is for each of the books to be done well. And I will say, if someone said, Rillian, there will never be another Prince Caspian made, then I would say, okay, I'm satisfied with the one we got. If someone said, there will never be another Lion, the Witch, the Wardrobe made in the film, I'll say, okay, I can take that. But if someone said, there will never be another Don Treader made, then I'm unsatisfied. I'm sorry. I want to see a good adaptation of the Don Treader. And so in some ways, I do care more about some books being made into films than others. And so in some respects, I lean towards a reboot. Maybe I'd like to see them continue it. And then
you're
40 years down the road.
Reboot with The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? Start over Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe?
Yeah. But there's a, you know, but that's largely because I would want to see the Dawn Treader made well. So maybe my in my perfect world, I'd have them continue with Silverchair Magician's Nephew, and then 35, 40 years down the road, I would see someone else do all seven.
See, I guess for me, it's if you'd have told me for that they're not going to make any more Narnia movies ever, my reaction is, well, that's a little disappointing because I would like to see it happen. But at the end of the day, I'm just a huge fan of these books, and I'm going to read them over and over and over and read them to my kids and read them again and continue to post my thoughts and see other people's thoughts. And I mean, like, to me, like, a good adaptation of these books is, oh yeah, that'd be cool if they can do that. If they don't, oh well, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. That'd be a really cool thing if it happened, but I'm not going to freak out if it doesn't happen.
Yeah, well, I'm not freaking out either way. But
I'm not going to go, no, because now the Dawn Treader will never be satisfactory, you know, be adapted into a great film. And I'm like,
oh, I see what you're saying. No, I mean, in terms of a film adaptation, if we're talking about film adaptations being made, then I want to be at least satisfied, and I'm not satisfied with Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
Yeah, but I wouldn't use the word satisfied even for the first two films. I would use the word content. You know, like, man, I wish they could have been better, but, you know, they're fine.
Okay,
I'll take them. I'll continue
content.
To watch them.
Okay. If we're lowering the bar, then Dawn Treader still does not meet that bar. But, so that's kind of my thought there. You know, to a certain extent, I could go either way. As far as what I might prefer. Whatever would best allow the films to be done well.
Yeah, if you look at the initial reaction, I posted a poll shortly after Fantasia Kitty's report came online and just said, you know, asking Narnia Webbers, you know, what is your reaction to the fact that it looks like we won't see another Narnia film? At the time, we thought several years is what we thought. Now it looks like not quite that long. But
assuming that they continue and don't just reboot, I think they'd wait longer if they were trying to reboot.
Well, I think I didn't even specify that in the poll. I just said the fact that we're not going to see another Narnia film for several years. What's your reaction to that? And the number one and the winner with 31% was no, and that is with four O's and four exclamation points. By the way, 31%. So most people just seemed pretty devastated by this. And what's funny is the second place option, I kind of put it in there as a joke. I didn't think it would get a lot of votes, but I just put it in there. At this point, I'm just thankful for an update. I don't care what it was. I'm tired of getting no news. I know that was kind of a joke. Ended up getting second place at 22%. Coming in at a very close third place, another 22%. Some people are, you know, I'm just relieved there's going to be more Narnia films someday. Those people probably don't even really care which one it is. Like, oh, I'm just glad it's not over. Then after that, you had 16% who were angry about film politics. And in last place with 9%, those are the people who are actually happy about the possibility of a different studio getting the rights. So not very many people are going, thank goodness, you know, what Walden's done, maybe someone else can do it, which is kind of interesting. But most people seem to be were upset by the fact that – just for the fact that they were going to have to wait for more films, I think.
Yeah. Am I upset that I'm going to have to wait? To a certain extent, yeah. To a certain extent, no, because – there's a part of me that kind of says, well, I've got time.
I just want them to be done right.
I want them to be done right. Now, part of why we were anxious, come on, guys, let's get things rolling here, is because we were thinking, well, Poulter's going to be too old. What's the matter with you? You're going to, you know, mess it up.
Yeah.
And so, again, but that was not necessarily just primarily a desire to get the films churned out as quickly as we could. It was a desire to see them done right. So,
yeah.
I might have chosen this at this point, just thankful for an update, period. I might have voted that way, but it's interesting just looking at, you know, relieved that there will probably be more Narnia films someday. It's hard to me think of it as a relief because I'm certainly I just enjoy things Narnia, so certainly I'm excited about the idea that they could be done well.
Why don't you tell me about I called you shortly after the report went online and kind of wanted to get your thoughts. So, Quentin, about when you're reading Fantasia Kitty's report and you start to realize, what is your initial feeling about it? What was sort of the, your very first impressions of the idea?
My very first impressions.
Like when you heard the news, like what how did it hit you? Because for me,
Let me not be tainted by what you're about to say. I think I was I felt sort of burned out. And I think there was a little part of me that thought, okay, maybe now they have a, casting aside, Will Poulter aside, continuity, all that, just as a standalone film, I thought, well, maybe now they've got more time to actually get it right. For one thing, actually come up with a good reason for why to do these films, to pick it back up and continue, rather than, hey, you know, we're right on the tails of The Lord of the Rings and we're right on the tails of the last Narnia film.
And we do have The Hobbit coming out. That may change the landscape a little bit.
Yes, but I think that I don't remember feeling extremely disappointed. I was not surprised. I mean, I guess it's hard to say. If this had come out right after I saw Dawn Treader, I'm not sure. But I had enough time to adjust to the fact, okay, I probably won't see a Narnia film for quite a while now. But I was not crying out, no, yeah, when I read it. That's for sure. I was probably a little bit just contemplative and maybe thinking, maybe this could be a good thing.
I think prior to this report, I was really starting to get used to the idea. Like, in my head, I really thought, no, I don't think I'm going to see any more Narnia films. I mean, maybe in, like, 10, 20 years, I guess. But it's just not really on my radar. As far as I'm concerned, the Narnia films are done. And in my head, I was really kind of feeling that way. And I think just before this report came out, I was starting to get, even in my heart, starting to accept the fact, okay, this period of my life is over. You know, for the past 7, 8 years or so, anticipating the Narnia films has kind of been, and talking about them has kind of been a part of my daily life. And I'm just starting to go, like, okay, we're going to move on here. And this came out, and somehow it was like having to accept that all over again, in a sense. I guess I was surprised, like, oh, this seems a little more – somehow this makes me feel like, okay, we probably are going to see one in less than 10 years. That's kind of what I felt like after looking at this. We are going to see one soon. Oh, it won't be for a while. It still feels like the end of an era. Even if they do make one in 6 years' time, it's like it's the end of this era. It's the end of this chapter in my life. And so my first reaction was of sadness, just the fact that, wow, you know, it's been – how long has it been? I started thinking about, you know, I got all nostalgic. And wow, how long have I been following these? And now it's kind of time to move on, at least for a very long time.
Yeah.
But in my head, I was probably thinking, you know, this probably is the best thing, and I'm not completely, certainly not closed off to the idea of a new studio maybe coming along, and they've got, you know, a different way of doing it. Maybe something that works better with the C.S. Lewis estate. I don't know. I like the people at Walden, but maybe this really is the best thing to get us a good Magician's Nephew, a good Silver Chair, you know, whatever. So it's one of those things where in my head I was going, wow, they actually – I thought they weren't going to get made at all. Maybe they actually will make some, and hey, the door is open for a fresh take and for them to be good. But in my heart, I was kind of like, this is sad. You know, this is the end of a chapter, the end of an era in my life, and now I'm going to have to kind of move on.
Yeah, I think that sadness was sort of – that came for me a long time before I read this report, so I think I'd already internalized that. But do you think that it's If someone decides to go with the reboot option, do you think that would necessitate that it would be longer than, say, 6 years or so for a sequel? I mean, Amazing Spider-Man aside, that just goes against common sense to come up with a reboot so quickly after, you know, Spider-Man 3. But I'm just thinking here. I would think I could imagine someone doing The Magician's Nephew or The Silver Chair 6 years after Dawn Treader. But it'd be hard for me to imagine someone doing a reboot. Well,
like a total, like, redo The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Completely redo. Complete redo.
Yeah, that is very hard to see. I mean, at this point, Hollywood is right now just so gobbling up anything with name recognition. And there's so many remakes and redos and prequels and requels and re-blah-blahs. I mean, just like everything right now. It wouldn't shock me if that happened. I don't think it's going to happen. I would be surprised if it happened, but not completely shocked, just because of the way the tide is turning right now in Hollywood.
In terms of
story, it's just wrong. No, don't redo The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. That was a pretty good film, you know, and most people liked it, and it did very well. No, don't have to redo The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. There's no reason for that. But in terms of the economics and what is Hollywood actually going to do, I think there's maybe a 15-20% chance that'll happen.
Well, we'll see. I mean, if I were to see someone say, hey, guess what? You know, within 6 years, the BBC has decided to redo all seven – to do all seven films, all seven books into films, not redo because they didn't do all of them. But that I could see, you know, I could believe a little easier than if a major studio decided to try to redo it. Uh-huh. You know, we'll just have to see. It's definitely an end of an era, though. That's for sure. And
even if they make another Narnia film 5 years from now, it does seem like this is the end of this era, you know, which is kind of interesting. I was actually just talking with a mutual friend of ours the other day, and he was talking about how he felt that Lewis, that something, if we're going in publication order, which I hope we all are, starting with Silver Chair, a change does occur in the series. Something happens. For one thing, starting with Silver Chair, we have main characters. And by that I mean, like, there isn't really one main character in Wardrobe, Prince Caspian, or Don Treader.
Correct.
And then with Silver Chair, we have Jill. In Horse and His Boy, we have Shasta. And with Distance Nephew, we have Diggory. And Last Battle, we have Tyrion. And I also think that the books start getting a little more dense. I mean, the plots start to get a little more well thought out, starting with Silver Chair. And the character development is a little more well thought out starting at that point. So a shift kind of occurs at that point. And so maybe, just throwing this out there, maybe this may end up being a good thing for the series. The fact that there's time, okay, everybody off the table, let's come together, let's completely take a breath here, and maybe a new studio, new director, whatever.
Well, I told you, that was one of my thoughts was, I think you asked me what was one of my first reactions when I read the StarCat report, and one of my first... Or Fantasia Kitty Report, sorry.
Yeah.
StarCat, we love you too.
And we do.
But I think one of my first thoughts was, well, maybe this could be a good thing. So,
I mean, bottom line, these adaptations might come as a surprise to a lot of people just because of how, you know, obsessed I am over all these movies and how much I, you know, post videos and everything. But the fact is, I'm a fan of the books first and foremost, and the movies are kind of optional for me. Like, you come to me and say, hey, would you like to see a great film adaptation of your book? My reaction is, sure, why not? I'll take it. Why not? Now, I don't want to see a poorly made one. I just don't want to see it get made. But the reaction is, sure, I'll take one because why not? Why not take a good film adaptation? I'll enjoy it. But it's not like I'm going, they must make another film. They must make another film. You know, I would like to see a good film made, but it's kind of it'll be nice if that, like I said, it'll be really, really cool if that happens. But if it doesn't, hey, I still got these books. I'm still rereading them. And I said in the sort of Narnia anniversary report we did last week, I said, I don't think I'm a fan of these books because they were great reads. I think I was a fan of these books because they're great rereads and re-rereads and re-re-re-reads. They just get better with age. So I'm looking forward to being able to re-re-re-re-re-read these again and again. I'm just in the middle of Prince Caspian right now, and it's still awesome.
You know, that's something that I look forward to. I really look forward to the times I'll be able to have reading these to my kids. And I can even say for the first two films, I look forward to watching the first two films with my kids and, you know, seeing what they thought of it and saying, wow, Dad, I just want to hear them say,
let's watch the next one, Dad.
Well, I just want to hear them say, you thought those were good special effects back then? Oh my goodness. I mean, what do you mean? Those were, you know, Oscar worthy special effects back then. But, I think that, you know, and it's kind of my whole feelings on this. There's a part of me that was never, because I'm such a visual person, I love to, even just in my spare time, I'll just kind of think to myself, how would I do this scene of Voyage of the Dawn Treader if I were in the film? And
me
so
too.
I'll just come up with that stuff. And there's a part of me that would really have loved to have seen that realized. And as far as, you know, can I just, you know, take a film adaptation or leave it? At the end of the day, if it were okay, really, you get no film adaptation whatsoever, or you get a really good film adaptation. I'll be happier if I get the really good film adaptation.
Yeah, sure, me too.
But yeah, at the same time, that's one of the nice things that consoled me with the Don Treader film is this is not some series of movies like Star Wars where there's no real source material, where the films come out and they are what they are. You either like them or you don't. Uh-huh. And maybe one or three can bring the experience down for you. Whereas here, they certainly bring the films down. Voyage of the Dawn Treader certainly hurt itself. But can it hurt Voyage of the Dawn Treader in my mind? No. So to a certain extent, there's an immortal aspect that these books have. And if these were films, I'm not sure that I would have become a diehard fan of these films, done the podcast and everything without the books
existing. Oh, no,
I don't think that would have happened. But, so would I have been very disappointed and let down and, crying, no, if the films had, taken this turn? Probably. But at this point, I'm a little more removed from the experience, and I can kind of say, well, this will play out the way it plays out, and I really hope and would like to see it play out well. If the worst case scenario, no matter what happens, we still have these great books.
It's interesting that we're able to start talking like this. We're at the end of an era, and we can now look back. And I'm remembering the moment I heard they were going to make The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe into a movie. And we can now look at that as, in my mind, a complete story, especially if a different studio picks it up and Walden doesn't do any more. We can look at this as the complete story of what Walden did with the Narnia films. And I'm just thinking back to, especially, mid-2004 when we're speculating about what's going to happen. Is Wardrobe going to be good? Are they going to make the whole series? And now that story is coming to an end and we can answer that question. Well, they made three films. The first one did very, very well. Second one didn't do very well. And the third one didn't do very well. Then things just kind of petered out. And then we'll see what happens next. But now we have the complete story of what Walden Media did with the rights to Narnia. And assuming they don't know any more, it's going to be interesting, especially as we get further and further away from this. We'll be able to look back and see how that's kind of viewed down through history, especially by fans. Is Walden going to be looked more – will it be looked on favorably? I would think they'd be looked on more favorably than mm-hmm. anything else. But how are we going to view these? We're – obviously yeah. we're far enough to be able to see how do people kind of view the BBC films, and we can kind of answer that. Nice. So it'll be interesting to see how we kind of look at this – 2005, 5 year or more, depending on how long you've been following it, kind of journey of Narnia making these movies.
Yeah.
Or Walden making these movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting. I'm just trying to think back now to one of the first podcasts we did just with the group. There are multiples of the first time we did you and I in a podcast.
When I was on the phone, I had to go out. I got to get some quiet. You actually called me on the phone, I think.
That's
the only way we could record it. And I was in my car, and it was wonderful. And I finally got a laptop, and we could record it that way.
Yeah, and I'm gonna have to go back and listen to some of those.
I think the first one was something about we were talking about the possibility of an extended version, and we were talking about. Some early, very early kind of Prince Caspian speculation and stuff, and mm-hmm. man, that was so long ago. Wow! Now yeah. I've got like the movies on my shelf right now. Well, Don Treader's not on my shelf; it's in my sock drawer. But I've got them all here, and they've been made, and they're done. I mean, it's just wild how far we've come.
Do you realize, Glenfuddle, that it was 5 years ago this month that you and I did our first podcast together?
I didn't realize that. We've been through like this whole journey is like, wow, this is even if they make more films later, like what's this, the end of an era, and it's been awesome. I remember
it has.
First
it
hearing
has.
About it. I remember the first image that came to my head when this is before I wasn't terribly internet savvy at the time, but my sister came home and said, "Hey, I heard that, someone's trying to get the rights to Chronicles of Narnia," and that was in early 2002. And I remember, for a while I remember going to the Return of the King. And wondering, uh-huh. again, this is before I knew much about how movies are made, and right. wondering, is there going to be like a trailer for Narnia? And I knew enough to say, maybe there'll be like some kind of announcement trailer or something where they don't show anything, just show the logo and the release date. I remember when the OneRing.net was kind of my primary source for Narnia movie news. And one they linked Narnia Web, and I went, oh, what's this? And clicked on it and went, oh, a website! You know, I don't have to just – I don't just have to Google – no, because it used to be like every week or so I would just do a Google search for Narnia movie and hope to find something.
Yeah.
And then it was like a whole website where that's all it is. Oh, my gosh, there are people here who actually care about the movies just as much as I do. And of course, I remember, you know, anticipating and the controversy of Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and then finally getting to visit the set of Prince Caspian, an opportunity I never thought I would get to visit. Just a set of any major movie would be awesome. And it was unforgettable, especially, you know, Prince Caspian. That's the one movie I would pick to set to have been able to go to. So it was remarkable.
Yeah.
And there's just, to me, this has just been what an awesome wild ride. I will definitely, even with all the controversy and some things in the movie I like, some things in the movies I don't like, I'll always look back at the experience of, wow, that was a ride worth going on. For sure.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I think to a certain extent, maybe it's good that we're ending at least a chapter.
Yeah, right now. Let's
Who
take
knows?
A breath.
Maybe you and I will be married with children and we'll start another podcast years down the road. But you know, I remember thinking, wait a minute, okay, at this rate, because I think this was in the days of Prince Caspian, really, when I started the podcast, seriously.
It was just like couple months after Wardrobe released, I think.
Yeah, I think I did one of my first episodes within
Didn't you do one about the Wardrobe box office at some point?
Yes,
maybe
but that
I'm
was
wrong.
Around the time that Prince Caspian was greenlit, which is fairly soon after Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. But I remember thinking, okay, wait, I'm figuring out the pacing here. They're taking their precious time with these films. I could be married reading the books to my children by the time the seventh film comes out. And at this point, I don't know, maybe hopefully not my grandchildren, but
yeah, I know, right?
definitely. I thought, well, that's certainly, if we see a silver last battle.
It's so funny you say that, because I remember thinking, like, before Fantasia Kitty's report came out, and I was kind of thinking, I don't think they're ever going to make any more films. And I was thinking, man, that's sad. I remember really talking about, man, maybe I'll be taking my kids to go see The Last Battle. And now it's like, well, I guess that's not going to happen because they never made it past Don Treader. But now it looks like maybe it will happen again.
Yeah.
Ah, I can't take this getting jerked around. I just can't take it. Make up your mind.
It's like, I can't take this getting jerked around. I'm going to The Hobbit.
Oh, boy. That'd be a great place to go as far as getting jerked around. That'd be wonderful.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah. Well, hey, I've been on that roller coaster ride, too. Glenfiddle, what – you know, it's interesting. I've gained friends through this whole experience. It's, you know, it's been great. And I think that this has just been such an interesting experience and quite a bit of time. I mean, I put quite a
so much time, effort, and emotion. This has been blood, sweat, and tears.
Seriously, I mean, if you just want to forget the editing. You and I have both done editing on this podcast, but if you want to just sum up the hours – well over 80 hours, I think, you know, I mean, we've done, do you realize how many solid days we've had of podcasting?
Yeah.
Just solid podcasting, 24-hour days. And I think that,
like, that much time worth of like final podcast, you mean, right?
Yeah, but it was, you know, it was such a great experience. And there were some episodes where we laughed so hard and where we shared our frustrations about these books that we love. And I think it's, I'm just really glad that, in the whole
well,
thing.
Well, we need to high five in slow motion right now or something.
Yeah, and, yeah.
And play Time of Your Life by Green Day or something.
I don't know. Yeah. You know, I first heard about these films in 2002, my mom heard a word on the street that some rich guy, and I think she was talking about Anschutz. Phil Anschutz. She said this guy from Denver bought the rights to the Narnia films, and he's going to try to make all seven. And I remember where I was sitting. I was sitting in my mom's car, and she got into the front seat and told us that she just. And I think she'd been in some shop and she heard someone say this, and I thought, wow. And then I didn't hear anything for a long time. You know, Lord of the Rings, Two Towers came out, The Return of the King came out, and I didn't know what was, you know, going on. And then later, you know, 2003, 2004, we start to actually hear a word about it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that you know, for one thing, I have gained – I love the books more now than I did before.
I agree.
And I think it's simply a correlation of reading the books more, spending more time, realizing more and more the genius that Lewis –
when you're forced – and also it's when when you hear they're making changes, you're forced to go, oh, wait, no, they can't change that because it's important because – and it forces you to kind of look at the book and think, well, what's important? Yeah. And definitely I have just forced you to kind of analyze them and decide what's really important in this for an adaptation. You realize, wow, these are really, really brilliant. So I'm totally with you in that I have a much deeper appreciation for the books than I did, you know, 7 years ago.
Yeah, and part of that comes with age, and part of it, like you said, comes with, you know, okay, if they're – okay, they're changing the character of Peter. Well, what was it that made the character of Peter so great in Prince Caspian?
Then you realize, wow, he really was a great character.
Yeah, things like that. And you know, as we think about Reepy Cheep and certain things, there's some things you just take for granted, and then they're changed or taken away, or you see them in a new light.
Yeah. So that's good. Certainly, like the overall experience of this, apart from just being an so it's such an emotional roller coaster, and wow, how fun was that? And has been, well, the result of this to me is that I have a much deeper appreciation for these books, and I can't wait to go back and reread them again.
I've got a better appreciation for the books, better understanding of the books, and also I've never felt really like I had any camaraderie in Narnia fandom. And now I know I do.
Yeah. I'm totally with you there, too.
Well,
you're stalling, really, and we've got to end
this, man.
This can't go on forever.
Man. You know, this is probably not, hopefully not going to be the last podcast.
I mean, regardless, I still want to do more stuff. You know, I've still got the things I'm thinking about for the Narnia Web YouTube channel. And and the forum, and this really speaks to the strength of the community here. The forum, still, considering how little news there's been, the forum is still going pretty strong. There's still a few posts every day. So the Narnia Web forum, under the circumstances, it's still pretty active.
Yeah, but this will, for a while, for this chapter, we're going to be doing this is the last of the news discussions.
Yeah. Well, maybe not. Maybe something will happen. I don't know. I mean, there's like
This is Narnia Web tomorrow.
That's right.
The day after.
Gresham did say that he recently said that apparently there's some kind of Narnia stage production. They're kind of in the early stages of planning right now, so maybe we'll get news on that or something. I don't know. Or we read the books. There's still plenty of new stuff to be discovered in the books.
The Narnia musical. You know, someone will do that after the Lord of the
Rings.
Oh,
it's been done. We'll see if they do it again.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
But regardless, the books have you think you've read them? You haven't. An extraordinary amount of re-readability.
Oh, and, absolutely.
So, I don't care if there's any more adaptations. Like, there's still so much more to be discovered in the books.
Yeah. Yeah. I've read Planet Narnia. My pitch.
Wow. He said it.
I did. Now, this has been an honor and a pleasure and a real adventure. I think adventure is probably the best single word I could use to sum up this experience.
Well, it has been a time, really, and I can only think of one appropriate way to end this one. It's five words. You know what they are. Let's say them together. There's only one way we can really sum this up, and that's
further up and further in.